Welcome to the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast, where our goal is to help you increase your reputation as a leader, increase your ability to influence others, and increase your ability to fully engage your team to deliver remarkable results. Hi, I'm Perry Holly, a John Maxwell facilitator and coach.
And I'm Chris Cody, Vice President, John Maxwell Company. Welcome, and thank you for joining. Just as a quick reminder before we get started, if you'd like to learn more about the five levels of leadership process, or even perhaps have Perry, myself, or one of our other executive facilitators come and do a private workshop in your organization, please visit johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. While you're there, if you have a topic where you'd like Perry to get creative around his titles as we talk about, you could leave that there, or even just a question for us. We'd love to help you in that manner. Well, today's topic is titled, Are You an Inspiring Leader? And oftentimes at this point, I will make fun of or at least give a little jab to Perry about the title. But what I'm really excited about today is that we actually have a special treat. And Chris Fuller is one of our executive facilitators and is in the room with us today because of his passion to be an inspiring leader. And Chris just came out with a book entitled Inspired Leadership. And if you'd love a copy of that book, learn more about it, please visit inspiredleadership.com. Actually, we're going to spend some time talking about some of the content out of his book. And in addition to his book, he's also the principal and new leader of Right Path Resources, which we use every day inside our organizations around assessments. About, we talk a lot about, hey, John says, man, the hardest person to lead is yourself. And in order to lead yourself, you got to know yourself. Yeah. And so with Right Path, we use it a lot for understanding yourself and your awareness as a leader. And then also kind of setting a benchmark around the traditional 360. So, man, Chris, we are excited that you're in the room with us. I'm excited so that I don't have to look at Perry the whole time. But I'm excited. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, let's spend some time today talking about this book of yours.
Yeah.
Guys and gals that are listening out there in podcast land, when I talk about an individual that is passionate about content and intellectual property, Chris goes way back with us. And even back to when John was developing the curriculum 360 leader.
Right.
And you spent some time helping us flesh that out. And what does that look like in the corporate space and organization? And so he has a passion for content. So what we're gonna do is dive into your book, and we're gonna talk about some of the principles. But talk to us a little bit about the inspired leadership and kind of where that comes from. Where was the passion that drove you to pull that out and put it on the paper?
So, you know, the inspired leadership content was really, I'm somebody that unless I am the real deal, unless I have that high degree of authenticity, there's not something that I really want to put out there. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that I struggle with that put out theoretical leadership material. And as you know, I'm all about the shoe leather. If this doesn't work in business, you know, I don't have time for it. And so people that quote colloquialisms and they throw out theory all the time, man, that's a struggle for me, as you guys know. And so with the John material, when I got started, the first John book was handed to me in 1993, Developing the Leader Within You. I leveraged that five levels of leadership to be able to grow and scale the organizations that I was developing. It was a useful tool. And in the middle of that usefulness, then I became a passionate Maxwellian. Well, so fast forward now, cashed out of those businesses. And really, as I align my businesses more and more with you guys, through that passion, was able to talk about the application of the five levels and go deep in that regard. So fast forward, the 20 years plus of being a Maxwellian, the 25 years of teaching those concepts, and really the last 15 years of tightly aligning with you guys, you know, I finally started building this sort of the success system by which I was consulting into organizations. And The first aspect of the inspired was inspired customer service. And so if you're not customer centric, then essentially you're going to have a revenue problem. You're going to have an EBITDA problem on those particular pieces. So how much more so as leaders do we need to be customer centric? You know, we have a lot of customers. We have investors, we have key stakeholders, we have employees, so whether it's an internal or external customer, then we need to lead from an inspired way. If you don't have inspired employees, if you don't have inspired customers, you will not have inspired investors in what we do.
So I don't know if you can tell, but Chris is extremely passionate about this topic. And what I love about even just what you said, what I was thinking just a minute ago, was Chris and I had an offline conversation a couple weeks ago. And Chris has built and run and sold some businesses and then spent some time consulting. And as we mentioned, with him getting back into now kind of being the principal and leading RightPath, he comes to me the other day and he goes, I think from now on, every single one of our executive facilitators and coaches that are out there consulting should be actively running a business because this stuff is hard to do. And I feel like I owe some people apologies when I've been consulting lately. But you can just hear the passion about the content, where it come from.
Well, so. Perry had mentioned that, I think it was like an episode like 68 or something, back in one of those podcasts, that as a sales manager, when you got there, that you were wanting to go back and apologize to some of those leaders because essentially it's like, man, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciate about your opening comment about you want to be the real deal. You want to be the authentic. And that, a lot of that has that you've lived it. You've done some hard things. You were in that position. And you're learning all the while, but never taking for granted how hard some of this stuff is, but how we all run a growth path to do that. I should also confess that Chris is one of my mentors. When I first started here, I was the first person I interacted with. It helped me with Five Levels and kind of showed me the ropes. So it's always had an impact on my life. I really enjoyed the book, and I told Chris Godey that I'm going to do a whole series on inspiring leadership in 2020. And then I didn't know about your book at the time. And then when you and I got talking, I got this book on being an inspired leader. I thought, okay, I'm all over that. And I'd love to know how you laid out the content. You're using the word inspired. And also, maybe you could mention about engagement. And in the early parts of the book, you talk about being that how you engage your team. And I think for me, that's something Chris and I have talked about a lot here on the podcast, is how do you increase engagement so you increase your reputation, you increase your influence, you increase your results.
Right. Well, so if we just started with why sort of inspired matters, and then we'll go into the acronym of it. But to me, my why, the passion for what I do, that impact for what we do, when you think about how many people are employed, right? Tons of people employed. And how many of them go home at night better than they went to work in the morning? And when we talk about the impact of leadership and we talk about inspired cultures and engaged workforce, the struggle is when leaders lead in a poor fashion, when culture is toxic, that toxicity follows people home. And so the why behind the what of inspiring, your culture is either going to be inspiring or exasperating. You're either going to add to the family fabric and the societal fabric, or your culture is going to tear at the family fabric. And how many people aren't available for their kids? They're present, but they're not present. We have difficulty at work. We're blown out. And so by the time we get home, how much open capacity do we have to be a human in the relationships that matter most because we've been so drained by our workplaces, by our organizations, and by the leaders that we've that are around us that are supposed to be developing us? So that's really the heart and the content of we're either going to be inspiring or we're going to be exasperating. And so many people work in this sort of this zombified environment that's really why. That's the why. We need to impact leaders. We need to impact cultures because people matter. And then from that part, you know, the success system, so the system that I put into place around the Inspired acronym, it was just building components into people need a success system to work. They need something to follow. That's why the five levels of leadership works as we're developing this. Are you results or relationship oriented?
Right.
And how do we build that and culture of results and relationship, people and profits? And so that's why I think that we need that. That's the genius of the five levels. And that's really what I was hoping to build in into the Inspired is some sort of methodical success system that allows people to deploy those concepts.
I really appreciate it up front. You said, and I do believe nobody gets out of bed in the morning wanting to go to work to be uninspired, unengaged, and just make their way trudging through the day. It's up to me as a leader. And like you said, that it's both the cause and the solution is the inspired leader is the cause and the solution to this disengagement problem we have.
Yeah, and what I want to add to that comment right there, because I think that was key that he mentions in the book, that as leaders, right, we're the solution. And we talk about engagement. You also mentioned in there disengaged employees. And a lot of people, you make it very clear, hey, this is not a disruptive employee, right? People are probably like, oh, you know, all my team are engaged because they're not disruptive. But it's really indifferent. And I love how you kind of talk about that, because as leaders, if we're not aware of that, that can be disruptive to our business because they are indifferent and we're not aware of it. And we don't address it or even help them become engaged through inspiring them as a leader. So let's do this. Let's break down the book, right? So it's inspired. What I love about it is you kept it simple for guys like Perry and myself. But you have an acrostic, right? And it kind of breaks it down into seven of them. And so we're just going to cover a few today. We have Chris with us for another episode, and so make sure you listen next week as well, because we're going to get into the second half, and you don't want to miss that. That'll be part two. But what I want to do is kind of break this down. We'll go over kind of the first two today. And in the word inspired, you actually kind of combine the first two letters, which is great. It helps me a ton.
I was confused.
You were confused, right? But so talk to us a little bit as we look at this word, the I and the N.
Yeah.
As you kind of laid out this acrostic, talk to us about what that stands for, why it matters, and what that means to us as leaders.
So in the inspired, well, the first piece is you've got to be in it to be inspiring, right? So that engage piece. If you're not in it to win it, why are we doing this? So the IN of inspired is to be intentional. Nothing great happens on accident. You know, the Lombardi quote of the man at the top of the mountain didn't fall there, right?
So oh, that's good.
When we get to this point of intentionality, anything worth doing is worth doing on purpose. And how much, we can't be this passion-fueled, purpose-filled if we're not on purpose. We need to be on purpose with purpose to be able to get to that next aspect.
That's good.
So are you intentional? Are you intentional about how you show up? Are you intentional about how your customers experience you? Are you intentional about how your leaders experience you? And some of that comes into that start of the self-awareness that you're talking about that we work on.
Yeah.
Are you intentional about knowing yourself? And then are you intentional about your leadership, and then as far as how your organization's going to operate, what should you be intentional about?
That's a big word for us. Intentional. Yeah, we talk about it a lot. So I'm glad
Perry
you started.
And I are laughing, like looking at each other, smiling, because that's so key.
So I just have to ask. Early in the book, actually, you start the book with a story which was very inspiring to me. But I've known you a while, so I know you do adventuresome things.
Mm. Right.
But you you tell a story about, hey, I'm in the neighborhood of Mount Everest. Why don't I go to base camp? And I just got to ask, how did you make sounded kind of like an off the cuff decision. Was it, or did you have this planned? How did you do that?
Yeah, it was a quasi off the cuff decision. So a handful of weeks before, we were doing a five levels of leadership in New Delhi.
Yes.
We were in Noida, India, and we still hadn't had things lined out for the second season of leadership development for this organization in India. And my mind starts to wander, and I'm thinking, if I'm never able to get back to this area of the world, what am I going to kick myself that I didn't do? And so I'm just going, okay, I got to get to Everest. And so,
and there you have it. That's how Chris Fuller thinks right there. Right, that's it.
I do peg an 80 on adventure in my right
on
path.
On your right path
so,
profiles, that's right.
So essentially, you know, I booked a flight and
helicopter.
And so went from New Delhi, India to Kathmandu, Nepal, and then walked from the international terminal, which isn't big, to the domestic terminal, which is even smaller, and started negotiating with helicopter companies for somebody that would chopper me into base camp. And so they looked at me like I had 10 heads. And it was a little bit of a great story. Just a small caveat here. I went to one company and it was like, I don't know, $3,000 to get you to base camp. And I went to another company that looked like it was much cleaner, much fancier, looked like they were much more on point. And the guy said, well, it'd be $12,500. I'm like, 12, five? I'm not paying you 12. I could get there for $3,000 with this guy. And he goes, do you want to see his safety records? I went, that is an amazing sales pitch.
A very compelling reason.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was so we choppered into base camp. But the lack of being intentional caused me to not be able to stay. So on the intentional piece, you know, one of the things in organizations that they fight is the biggest enemy is not internal, it's external. And speed and scale are some of the biggest enemies. And so we talk about all the time, are you intentional about scaling your business? Because if you're not, you may get there, but you can't stay.
Yeah, you can't sustain it.
Yeah. You got to be able to acclimate the organization. And so I was not acclimated. I went from 900 feet above sea level in Delhi to 4,500 in Kathmandu to 17-something in base camp. And you start getting some pretty good headaches within the hour.
Yeah, great story. And I'll encourage your listeners. Chris has a first book where he models it to the Iditarod race and with the sled dogs, which is another adventure that we can talk about later. The S, so we got IN. The S stands for service. Walk us through that one.
So how do people experience you? You know, many people, we talk about servant leadership, and that really, in that modality, it is, am I going to be a self-centric command and control extractor? Am I going to be a diminisher, or am I going to be a multiplier of my talent? And that service orientation is really one of those key pieces that says, you know, it's I need to be customer-centric, and I have internal customers and external customers. And when leaders approach their leadership style, that every person that they're interfacing with is like a customer. And you treat customers different sometimes than you do employees. We treat people different in some of those ways. And so that customer-centric mentality to that service orientation is key for me. And for me, one of the things I'm passionate about is to invert the org chart. So in the book, I talk about the inverted org chart, that at the top of the org chart really is the customer. The top of the org chart is whom we are serving. And then the people that serve the customer, those people at that front line, they need to be served by the supervisor. So the supervisors equip and empower, delineate and delegate to the front line that then they're able to serve the customers. The managers serve the supervisors that serve the people that serve the customers. The executive team equips and empowers and develops those aspects. So within the service, you know, many people confuse servant leadership with weakness, and it's not weakness. It's gritty. You know, when you talked about giving feedback, so being a servant leader is also giving that feedback and talking through, you know, how do I give that feedback? And I don't want to give that feedback, but the people need. So will you be self-centric or will you be other-centric? Do you have that passion to serve?
So when you talk about this, I see the alignment, you know, with the five levels model. I see the alignment with John's values and his intentional living and then his servant leadership and what that looks like. It reminds me of a couple of things as we kind of wrap up here today, and I'll throw it back to you to kind of close us, Perry. I think about, and Chris, maybe even this is something I learned from you in one of the rooms that—
Probably.
Yes, that's right. I just wanted to give you that opportunity right here first, right? Was, and I've mentioned this before, which is when leaders ask this question, what does it look like to be on the other side of my leadership?
Yeah.
Leaders, I promise you, if you would ask that question to people that you trust and ask for candid feedback, the first two that we covered today, the I and the N and the S, would show its face right so fast about your leadership. Because it'll tell you real quick, are you reacting as a leader or are you being intentional and proactive about how you're leading, how you're experiencing whatever this might be in regards to your leadership or to your culture, and then in regards to service. I totally agree, right? How we treat our next line of team members is how they treat their team members, is how they treat their customers, and that service rolls on. And we have some organizations that they don't want us to use the word, the phrase servant leadership, and that's fine. We have some that embody it. But either way, the principles are the same in how you're leading and how you're serving your people. And so that's my takeaway, is just the alignment there, the focus on being intentional and serving not only, you know, our customers, our end users, and adding value to them, but are we doing that for our people that directly report to us as well? once again, Chris has been a longtime friend of John and our organization, helped with a ton of content, currently right now leading Right Path Resources, you know, which is a great partner of ours. Specifically, and they do a ton of other stuff, but specifically for us, it's around the assessments. We often talk about the personality assessment, the Right Path 4 and 6 is the cards that you've been dealt as a leader. This is how I kind of explain it, right? Like, this is how you're wired. You're not changing. And most of the time when I'm in the South, I'll say, you know, it's how your mom and daddy made you.
Yeah.
And if I go other places, they don't quite understand that, and I have to explain a little bit before. But then you've also been a great partner of ours in taking this traditional 360 and almost kind of customized it for us, and we call that the Maxwell Leadership Assessment. It's your tool that we're using. And I like to say, taking that assessment and allowing your team and your leaders and your peers and others to speak into that, that shows you how you're playing the cards that you've been dealt. And so, man, thanks for carving out some time to be here with us today. Thanks for what you've done for us over the last 15, 20 years in the partnership. And I look forward to many more years to come. So, Perry, with that, close us out. And listen, real quick, don't miss next week, because we're going to talk about the rest of the letters in Chris's book.
Yeah, I'm excited to get to the second half of this, the next five parts of that acronym. I want to talk next time in the next episode. You mentioned about designing a culture versus kind of defaulting. That's another topic we've had here. But this, when I'm hearing you talk about others oriented and how you design the service of the client, that is inspiring. That is makes somebody want to lean in. My engagement level goes up, and that's good. A design point on the culture. So we're grateful to have both Chris's here today.
Fuller and Godey.
Just a reminder, there's a learning guide on this on the website that has the entire model laid out for you, so you can see what that looks like. And you can find that at johnmaxwellcompany.com/podcast. You can also, as Chris said earlier, leave us a comment there or a question. We love hearing from you. We're grateful that you join us. That's all for today from the John Maxwell Executive Leadership Podcast.